This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Let's Talk Together in English is brought to you by Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, the Bahamas' largest and most experienced dedicated radiological center. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Guardian 96.9 FM with fresh news, smart talk all day. Indeed, I'm your host, Lady T. It's a pleasure to have you guys with us on this great Sunday evening. I know the country is saddened by the report from Eyewitness News. Said that Daryl Miller, who was the veteran journalist and radio personality, has been found dead at his residence. So, you know, may his soul rest in peace. He was indeed a veteran. And I know everybody is saddened by this news, but that is the news that I got from Eyewitness News, confirmed. Bonsoir à toute communauté haïtienne qui branché, auditeur, auditrice qui branché à Guardian 96.9 FM. Avec émission à nous parler ensemble et yo confirmé, Eyewitness News confirmé que Daryl Miller mouri. Daryl Miller, c'est un ex et radio personnalité, l'ité et un jeune journaliste. Et yon ke en pile moun respecté dans pays ça, yon ki était dans radio pour longtemps. Decades. He's been in journalism for decades. And so he was well respected throughout the country. And so he will be missed dearly. We will be right back after this break.
Condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you. Seyen epi chita, s'il vous plaît, yap rele pou radiografi ou. Tale, se sa ki fè rele Saltan. Ou pa gen problem nan Fortaris Diagnostic Center, image at Grosvenor's, nou pa jam fè plize rendez-vous rezultat. Sa vle di, entre, soti. Si test depi stajou moutwe ekran, radiolog nou ka kondi alternatif test depi taj sa. Kounya la menm. Ou bien, rele-nou na 328-81-57 pour faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien rele-nou na 328-81-57 faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien visiter location nou Kamakelod, Chaudière.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guardian 96.9 FM with Fresh News, Smart Talk All Day. I'm your host, Lady T. Bienvenue, communauté haïtienne, tout auditeur auditrice qui fréquence à Guardian 96.9 FM. Côté, c'est nous-mêmes qui baillons tout bonne nouvelle là. I am honored today to have as my guest Frankie Camille. I know everybody has seen him on the social medias. Different news outlets. I think he did an interview with Cable 12 and also ZNNS. And Frankie is actually my guest this evening. And when we actually were in the same, I would say, organization. And I've always knew Frankie to be somebody who was determined, work hard, and always focus at whatever he wants. And so when I saw Frankie, it melted my heart to know how far Frankie came from. But I'm going to read a little bit about Frankie because he is definitely my guest. Frankie is a visionary, a multi-talented professional. Frankie is an ambitious individual with deep passion for music, youth empowerment, and spreading the gospel. Born and raised in the Haitian village on the eastern side of New Providence, Mr. Camille faced significant challenges in his early education. He repeated the fourth grade, which led him into a state of depression and anxiety. At the age of 12, he tried to commit suicide because of the abuse he suffered at the hands of his stepfather and siblings. After a failed attempt on taking his own life, Frankie went to church and found God. He asked God to be his father and made up his mind that he would succeed. He promised himself that he would graduate as a valedictorian of his class and that he would never fail again. Despite his humble beginnings, he achieved success through his hard work and inspired by his mother, who, despite being unable to read and write, encouraged him to excel. Frankie grew up in poverty, with a strict home. He had a low self-esteem and had to work for a living as a child. At the age of 13, he got Texaco gas station on East Bay Street, now called Rubus. Okay. At school, he had one set of uniform clothes, which he had to wash daily. Many of us grew up like that. He used Super Value groceries. He used to work at Super Value as a parking boy in most days, most of us. His shoes had to be taped up with duct tape so he could because he could not afford to purchase a new shoes at all for school. He had to work through his childhood to earn a living. Despite the challenges, Frankie was able to maintain a 3-point average during his senior year in high school. His commitment, excellence, led him to graduate as head boy and valedictorian of Doris Johnson. In school in 2005, he filled his lifetime goal, graduating top of his class, because that's what he said he would have done, and he did that. That is something with God and determination, hard work. Everything and anything is possible. Frankie holds a bachelor's degree in banking and finance with a minor in French from the University of the Bahamas, along with certifications from as financial planner an associate degree from the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services. Despite his qualification, Frankie was unable to secure a permanent job in the financial sector. He worked as a teller for a year at a local bank and was released a year later. After applying for various places, Frankie Camille was attempted on Royal Bahamas Police Force, where he graduated with honor and achieving high scores. Frankie served for 8 years in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, where he was promoted to corporal, and was also in the police band. And right now, Frankie is, well, this is, but he definitely will tell you a little bit more about himself when he comes, because I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to say too much, and then definitely he wouldn't have anything to say at all. But I know Frankie now is a music teacher. I'm definitely going to have to let him tell you the details and everything else. But firstly, my co-host is here. How are you? Good evening, Smith. Welcome.
Good evening, Lady T. Bonsoir. M'tapande ou vanda ken tap veni. E na sale auditoa ou tout branche emisyon an nou pale ansam apremidi ya. Mwen figye a bel anpil de san bote sati.
Thank you.
Ok. Y toujou bel men ou kone, fwa nou feti blag la kamen.
Yes, yes.
E oui, ou kone jodi ala avati de 5 na 4 e nou apren yon sad nouvel.
Very much so.
Côté que nous gagnons vétéran yon icon et on va parler de Darrell Miller faut parler de
That's right Darrell Miller was definitely an icon one that would greatly be exactly. missed a lot, the entire country right now is saddened by his death.
So priez bon Dieu pour famille là rete strong.
Yes, RIP.
C'est parce que yo je vais le mourir.
At his home, he found him dead at his home.
Yeah, so, you know, all of us have to go somehow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we just gotta keep our family in prayer and also let's talk together. Let's talk together, right? Mm-hmm. Et nous souhaiter famille là condoléances. Et puis, pour ça que d'ailleurs, pour nous continuer de travailler là, parce que travail d'Arel t'a fait pour nous continuer. So, legacy a toujours été.
So, his legacy can live on, correct.
Pour nous-mêmes, qui n'a radio, pour nous travailler plus, pour nous regarder ça qu'il te fait. C'est ça que bon, l'édit, c'est le regarder pour tout journaliste, tout le monde net passé et y aller, y a parlé de ça.
Yes.
So, it's good to do something good in the home country where you are.
Yes.
And always do something in the community. When you're gone, they will be missing.
Yes.
So, c'est ça. Fait après-midi, quand même, nous perdons un journaliste, un vétéran dans la Sobamas. Si on parle de Darrell Miller, il faut parler de radio. Et parce que c'est ce monde qui fait un pile dans la radio. Et dans talk show, pas de facile.
No.
Et si on ne parle pas de Paris, ou pas de la danse.
He has always been so entertainment.
Yeah, so je change les sous-markets de Prandifé, je regarde les musiques, je fais interview. Ah, vraiment, c'était, c'est une auto qui était pour Tim. Plus, je suis dans le domaine radio, je dis bonjour tout, pour moi, si moi-même, je suis capable de travailler dans la communauté. Et grâce à Dieu, eh bien, nous, là, après-midi, à côté, que bon Dieu ben nous chance là pour nous venir parler ensemble dans radio Guardian 96.9 FM. Son plaisir encore l'édit pour nous là non pas nous c'est Mrs. Smith Joseph.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. You know what? Darrell was actually one of my idols, right? And I remember every time I watched Darrell Miller, it used to be a pleasure to watch him. It was always something great, you know? And to see that we lost such
such an icon. Icon.
Listen, it's a
blow.
It's a blow. It's a blow to all of us it's a blow to the entire country. And as I mentioned before, Darrell Miller will definitely be missed by all of us, And especially during the hurricane season, you know, and Darrell Miller's always been so entertaining. And every time you watch him, you know you're going to laugh somehow. He's gonna bring some joy. He's gonna bring some joy. And that's what I'm gonna miss most about him, you know?
Yeah,
just watching anything that he has. Anything that he has was always a pleasure to watch Darryl Miller. Okay, so we will be right back after this break. Let's talk together in English was brought to you by Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, the Bahamas' largest and most experienced dedicated radiological center.
Seeing et puis chita, s'il vous plaît, y'a prélu pour radiographie. Tale. C'est ça qui fait rele Saltan. Ou pas gen problème dans Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, image at Grosvenor's, nous pas jamais faire plusieurs rendez-vous résultats. Ça veut dire entrée, sortie. Si test depuis stage ou montrer écran, radiologue nous ka kondi alternatif test dépistage ça. Kounya la même. Ou bien rele nous dans 328 81 57 pour faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, image à Grosvenor, ou bien rele nous dans 328 81 57 faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, image à Grosvenor, ou bien visiter location nous Kamakelod Chodia.
Some medical facilities pride themselves on offering multiple services. At Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an X-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center or imaging at Grosvenor today.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Guardian 96.9 FM with Fresh News, Smart Talk, All Day. Indeed, I'm your host, Lady T. Welcome to Let's Talk Together, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you guys with us. Bonsoir, toute communauté, communauté haïtienne, tout auditeur, auditrice, qui fait rank fréquence à Guardian 96.9 FM avec animatrice communauté haïtienne. Lady T, c'est un plaisir lié pour moi pour me faire émission ça pour nous, émission qui là pour éduquer et informer communauté haïtienne. It's actually a pleasure for me to have my guest. I started to introduce him a bit, but I think it was a little bit too long, and I didn't want the, you know, my audiences and my listeners to be bored by me, you know, and he wouldn't have anything to talk about, so I stopped. I stopped at somewhere. I have Frankie Camille. Everybody has, as I mentioned before, everybody saw him in the social media platform where he talked about his life growing up as a young man. And Frankie, I would say it's a pleasure again, as I mentioned earlier, whilst I was introducing you. You know, we've worked before. And a different organization, and where you was doing an awesome job. So to have you here, it melted my heart to see a younger person who is so determined, focused on helping the younger generation to come. And that is what we need in this country. One to hold each other's hand to help them cross the bridge. Because sometimes it can be a lot. Yes. So, Frankie, good evening. Welcome to Let's Talk Together. It's a pleasure to have you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. It's indeed a pleasure to be here on The Guardian.
Frankie, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I started to talk a little bit about you, but can you let us know about yourself growing up? What was it like growing up in the Haitian village where you grew up as a young child, a young little boy? What was it like? And also, what did you have to do to be what you are today?
Yes. Growing up, we grew up in the Haitian village. You used to call it Brapin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brapin. That's right.
In the east. I think they have since destroyed it. But that's where we grew up, in a small little shack.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our house was so small. A crane used to actually come and move it around the village.
Mm-hmm.
And we had outside toilets, not so much toilet, but it's like a little shack what you build, and then those of you who knows it. But we had that, and we had no running water per se, so basically I grew up with well water.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no heaters, so I grew up bathing in cold water.
Right.
So sometimes the bath used to be very, very short because the water was so cold, especially in the winter time. And growing up in a village, you know, sometimes even the things that we take for granted, like tissue and stuff, sometimes we didn't even have access to that to use the bathroom. And so rock and leaf used to be my friends, you know, growing up back there.
Yeah.
And it was rough. It was rough growing up. I recall some nights we would go to bed hungry, you know, not enough food to eat. My mother used to sacrifice a lot to make sure we eat, and she would not, you know, she would go without food. So the basic necessities we didn't have, even clothes, simple as clothes. I remember going to school. My clothes used to be so tight. My pants used to be tight. And as I walked, I remember getting teased many days getting teased. And at that time, I only spoke Creole, so I didn't know. I grew up in the village, so I didn't know English until it was time for us to go to school. And I heard these people talking English for the first time. I'm like, okay, what are these people saying? And so it was a language barrier for me to try to comprehend. So at home, mommy speaking in Creole. And then at school, I'm like, they speak in a different language. So sometimes I got confused.
Right.
So sometimes I didn't understand what they were saying. And so, but I was determined. I was determined to succeed. I had a mindset to succeed. And no matter the hardship, I remember going to school. Sometimes we didn't have bag. Super Value Bag used to be my best friend. So my books and my pencils, I used to carry them in a plastic bag while everyone had school bag going to school. I had Super Value, thank God for Super Value bags. I had Super Value plastic bags going to school. I used to walk from the village to school. And so while people were catching the bus, and you know, I had to basically walk. I was fit. I was very fit. Because I walked to school, from school to school, from school to school, from school. And I remember many nights, you know, we didn't have electricity. For electricity, we used to use, either we used to borrow electricity from the neighbor, or we used to use the generator. You know, the generator is very loud. And I remember many nights doing my homework with just the lamp. You used to have this little oily lamp. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah,
you used to have those. They used to last all night.
Yeah,
I remember doing homework where I had the light there and I did my homework. The TV was a luxury. We didn't have much TV until we moved out of village into an apartment. But growing up, it was very much, you know, I was determined. I had a sense of determination to succeed because it's either that or fail.
Right.
And I had no backup source. I didn't have no bank account. I never traveled, you know. I had a travel document, so to speak, but I never got to travel on that. I remember one time a church offered to take us to Disneyland, and I was so excited. I said, okay, I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that we needed, because I wasn't born here, I mean, because I was born of Haitian descent, I didn't know that we needed a visa to travel. I thought we could just travel on the police record. Mm-hmm. So I needed a visa, and I didn't know. And I remember going to the airport with everyone else and going through immigration and customs, and they were like, we see the travel document, but what you need is a visa. And I remember being turned away.
Wow.
While everyone else got to go to Disney World, and my trip was paid for.
What that was like for you?
It was devastating.
That day?
My trip was paid for.
My God.
And someone had to drop me home. And I was like, wow, why did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
But from that time, I made up in my mind that, listen, I have to succeed. And I made up in my mind that one day I will travel. Right. I will leave this country and I will travel. And that's what I did. When I hit grade four, I couldn't read and I couldn't write. My mommy couldn't read and my mommy couldn't write. But my mommy was very street smart, and she was very business. She used to freeze the 1 gallon bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then she used to sell that for a dollar.
Wow.
in the village. And that's how we made it. And sometimes she would buy a whole pig.
Mm-hmm.
And she would pay someone to kill the pig. And then she would sell all of that meat. She'd take me along with her. And for the whole day, she's selling meat. And she said, come here, come, Frankie, come with me. I'm going to pay for your school stuff right now. And I watched her. She paid for the pig, got the pig killed, and she went through the village and she sold the pieces of meat one by one to ensure that, you know, I got an education. And she often used to say to me, listen, she said, Frankie, you have the opportunity that I wish I had. My mommy, my parents, she said, my parents never put me in private school. You know, in Haiti, you still have to go to private school because public school wasn't free.
Yeah.
She said, they couldn't afford it. But she said, you have an opportunity to learn to read and write. And she used to, I don't know how she knew my answers was right or wrong, but she used to look at my work and just start beating me.
She knew you best out.
She was like, if I finish my, how you know? You can't read now. You know this right or wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
She sure used to know.
Yeah. But she used to cut my hip. If you see me, listen, she used to cut my hip. She was serious about me getting an education. And that pushed me. And so when I hit grade four, I couldn't read, I couldn't write. But I was very much motivated. And I remember bright and early, it was September, everyone up there, new school clothes, and everyone looking good, and everyone excited to find out, okay, what grade we going in now? And I was supposed to be going in grade five. And I excited, I happy. My teacher pulled me to the side, and she said, Frankie, I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to repeat you. I said, repeat me? Mm-hmm. I said, what you mean repeat?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're going to stay in grade four. I said, me stay in grade four? I said, all my friends already gone in grade five.
Right.
Right? And she said, yeah, you're going to have to repeat. And they repeated me. And when they repeated me, that's when my life changed. Because I was like, you know, I already come in from this background. I can't read. I can't write. I poor. We can't afford nothing. We could barely afford, you know, to eat, to drink. And I'm like, you know, every time I try to push myself forward, either I don't have the opportunity or someone, you know, picking on me or judging me. And I was like, you know what? This is the last time. I said, I will never, ever fail again. I will never, ever
fail again. That was your breakthrough.
That was my breakthrough. What they did that for, it transformed my life. Right. And I remember sitting down and I said, Frankie, you have to learn to read. And at that time, I couldn't read. So what I did was I started memorizing words. That's how I learned to read. Like everyone learned phonics and, you know, but I had to memorize words. So I looked at different words and I wrote them down and I memorized them. Mm-hmm. And as I memorized them, then I learned the rules afterwards, after I memorized the words. And I started memorizing words. I started writing down the words. I started buying books and the little money I had, whatever books I could find, I would buy the book and I would store the book and I would begin to try to read the book. And if I didn't understand a word, I used to ask my teacher or someone, what does word say? What that say? And then after a while, you know, I discovered, listen, I could read. I taught myself to read. No one taught me to read, right? I taught myself how to read. I taught myself how to write. And I made up my mind in grade 4, Frankie, you will not fail. And I made a promise to myself that I never shared with anyone. I said, when I graduate from high school, senior high,
right,
I have to be the top. I said, I have to be the top student in my class. I said, I have to have the highest GPA. I made up in my mind and I kept that promise. I did every single day for 6 years. I said to myself, you will graduate the top of your class, regardless of where you come from, regardless you might come from the village, regardless who your parents are, Frankie, that's right. You will graduate the top of your class. And sure enough, after grade four, I had to work. So I started off as a parking boy at City Market. Someone got me a job, Ricardo Miller, he got me a job at a boys club. I joined a boys club. And he got me a job at City Market. And I started taking care of myself. I got tired. My mommy used to give me $1 for lunch every day. And I was like, $1? That could have only gotten me. I had to choose between whether I should drink today or eat today. Yeah. I had to choose whether I'm going to get chicken and fries or ice cream. I had to choose whether I'm going to get hot body or chicken and fries, but it was never both.
No, so dollar definitely.
I made up in my mind. I said, "Listen, this dollar thing, this is not going to work for me as a young man." And no one told me. I said, "I have to find a job." At 12 years old, I said, "I have to find a job." As a child, that was my mindset. I said, "I have to work. I have to work. I have to take care of myself." I went to work at City Market, and I was a parking boy. And because I was small and timid at the time, you know, the other parking boys who was much bigger than me, they used to take advantage of me. So a lot of parking, they used to take my parking and they used to treat me bad. And I said, you know what, I'll still park.
Right.
And from being a parking boy, I used to walk home from the age of 12. I remember walking home from Renton Meadows all the way to Yamacraw every night. Wow. I walked home the streets. Trying to get home. The only thing that saved me was my brother at the time. He was in a gang, right? He was in the Raiders gang at the time, and they recognized me, and they was like, "Oh, that's Whitney's little brother. Yeah, he cool." So I used to walk by with no incidents. But for years, I walked after school, parking boy, walk home, did my work. I bought my own school uniform. I bought my own school books. I had my own lunch money. Because I had to invest in myself, I took my education extremely seriously. Where everyone else was playing, because mommy and daddy was paying for their stuff, Frankie Camille say, "Buddy, I ain't got time to waste." And I made up in my mind, I will take full advantage. I joined every club. Everything I could find to do, I put my hands to, and I did it, and I worked hard. I worked and I worked and I worked, and at the age 13, I decided that, listen, I ain't in this parking no more. These boys taking advantage of me. So I said, you know, I need another job. Then I got another job at the gas station at Harbor Bay. And at the time, the manager was like, "Boy, he's too young to be working." And I was determined. I said, "Sir, I have to take care of me and my family. That's right. I have to work, sir. please, I need this job. He was hesitant because he was afraid of the laws and so forth. But he gave me a chance. He said, you know what? I'll let you work, but you can work after school and the weekends.
Right.
So he allowed me to work after school and the weekends. And I was the youngest at age 13. I was the youngest person there working at that gas station. I was pumping gas, cleaning windshields. Yeah. Right? Cleaning windshields, pumping gas. And there I met some extraordinary people, and they encouraged me. They took me in as their sons. And they said to me, Camille, if I had to do it all over again, I would not have dropped out of school.
Mm-hmm.
They said to me, Camille, whatever you do, take your education seriously. Seriously. They said, we can't go back to school. We stuck. This is all we could do. But you have so much opportunities. You could become somebody.
You have a chance. That's
you have
right.
a chance, right?
To turn your life around.
And they poured into me. They looked out for me. They encouraged me. And when I needed food to eat, they shared their food with me. And I became basically a part of the family. And so from the age 13 straight up to 18, I was working and I was going to school. I was working and I was going to school. I was going to school from 9 to 3, right after 3 o'clock. I put on my Texaco uniform at that time. It's Rubus now, but I put on my Texaco uniform and I pump in gas. And that's what sustained me. That's what kept me. And I bought my little bicycle, all right, because I couldn't buy no car. I bought my little bicycle and I ride my little bicycle from home.
Hey, you already upgrade because you used to walk.
Right.
So no more walking.
No more walking.
You was able to afford your bicycle.
I was able to afford,
so you
right.
already made one step closer to whatever you were, you know, wanted right. to achieve. That's good.
And so that's what I did. And when I hit grade 10, I said, okay, it's time. I remember the promise I made. I said, Frankie, whatever school you go to, I don't care what it is, you have to. Not that I was trying to outdo anyone else, you know, but because of what I went through.
You were trying to outdo yourself.
Myself,
it's
right.
It's only you.
It wasn't about Bahamian or Haitian or no.
No.
It was about proving to myself that I was worthy.
Yes, yes.
Because of the shortfall. I had to prove to myself that I could do it. And I said, you know what, Frankie? I never shared this with no one. No one knew this. But my goal was to make sure that when I graduate, that me repeating grade 4 was worth it. Because I felt so dumb. I felt so stupid. I felt like nothing. I used to grow up and I used to hate myself. I used to hate myself because of what people said about Haitians.
Wow.
And I used to wake up and I said, I wish I wasn't a Haitian. I wish I was an American. I wish I was white. I used to have self-hatred.
Wow.
I used to walk around hating myself and believing by hating myself that people were going to love me. I thought that hating myself, that people would have embraced me. But I discovered the more that I hate myself, the more damage I did to myself.
Right.
So I had to learn to accept me for who I was.
Yes.
I had to learn to accept, listen, Frankie Camille is your last name. There's nothing you can do about it. You was born here. There's nothing you can do about it. I had to accept that. I had to accept that there will be people that will not like me because of my last name. I had to accept the fact that people will judge me because of my last name. I had to accept that. I had to accept that every time a boat come in of illegal immigrants, that would have some type of impact on me.
When you go to school, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because when I went to school, the children used to be like, Frankie, go back to your country. And I was so confused. I'm like, what country you're talking about?
You've never even been there.
I don't even know. And they used to say, go back where you come from.
And you know something, not to cut you off, right? Majority of people don't understand that. You born here, to Haitians that lives in Haiti, they don't consider you as one of them.
No.
They don't. And that's where we get it mixed up. They don't understand that. They don't consider you as one of them. Even though they was like, they'll be like, go back to your country. Where are we going? They don't consider us as one of them. To them, we are strangers. We are foreigners to them.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to Haiti now, they're like, who the hell are you guys? Like, go back.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. What it is.
Yeah.
But I guess because, you know, when you lack of knowledge, that's what happened. But continue.
But when I went to Doris in 02, I had to let go of a lot of stuff.
Right.
I had to ignore what people were saying about Haitians, and I had to change my mentality. I had to make up in my mind that it really don't matter where I come from, who my mommy was, or who my daddy was. Whatever the purposes of God for me, it has to come to pass.
That's God's book.
And I remember grade 12, when they were looking for the next head boy at the school. My goal was never to be the head boy. My goal was to be valedictorian. That's what I was going after. And I remember they were talking about who's the next head boy, and my name was mentioned. And I recall there was an administrator, and she made some teachers, and the administrator made a comment. She said, and they came back to me. She said, I don't want no Haitian head boy in my school.
Wow.
She said, he's a foreigner. They're a foreigner, ain't no Bahamian. We need a Bahamian head boy.
Right.
We don't need no foreigner. And when she said that, my soul
dropped.
You know, I felt as if I was worthless. I felt as if, wow, I really don't belong. No matter how long I was here, no matter how hard I worked, these people don't accept me. That's how I felt at that time. And I was so bitter and angry. And I remember the Lord saying, you know what? Let it go.
Right.
Let it go. Do not hold on what people say. Let it go. And I said, you know, in my mind said, you know what? Every time I see her, I can say good morning. I can walk past her straight. Mm-hmm. I can say good morning. No, yeah, I can say nothing though. Right? I can show them who I am.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And I remember God saying, no, that's not the way. That's not the way to deal with it. Yeah. That's not the way to deal. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And so I did that. I released it. And I continued to work hard. And every time I saw this lady, I said, good afternoon.
Yes, right. With a smile.
Yes. That's right. I said, good day. Because I understood that I wasn't just representing Frankie. Yeah. I was also representing other little Frankies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other Haitian people.
Yes.
And I have to show them that not all of us are disrespectful.
Mm. Right.
Not all of us are rude. I had to show them that, listen, we are good people.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was respectful to her. I was respectful to all of the teachers. Never disrespected no one. Never. At any point in time, my tenure at Doris Johnson, not a single time did I disrespect anybody. And when I went to do the interview, I remember, I prepared. I remember I was at the gas station, and I told them, you know, I up the behead boy. And I wrote up my little speech. I wrote up the questions. And they were I was at the pump. Mm-hmm. Pumping gas, and they was asking me questions. Okay, what if they ask you that? And I went in the dictionary, and I found that some of the biggest words I could find.
Yeah.
And I said, right. Oh, I
just
could use this.
Extra prepared. Extra. Extra, yeah.
I say, you know, I find inculcate. I use that. Mm-hmm. I said, if I was the hair boy, I will inculcate and perpetuate an environment of, I use all kind of big words, right? The same lady, she sat across from me as I opened my mouth and I speak. The same lady said, we didn't want to know. No
Haitian head boy.
Head boy, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same woman. Mm-hmm. I remember she opened her mouth and she said, that's our next head boy.
I could tell you that.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. God be the glory.
The God be the glory, man.
She said, that.
That's how God had it.
Will be the next head boy.
I could tell you that.
But that wasn't the end of that. The same lady also, when everyone was filling out their application to go to UB, I wasn't filling out an application. I became the head boy, but I didn't fill out an application because in my mind I said, okay, I don't have a passport. I ain't going to college. What college I going to? And she said, Camille, you are a head boy. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you won't fill out no application? So when the university came, she said, Frankie, this is fill out the application. They forced me to fill out the application. Mm.
The same teacher.
The same
God
administrator.
Say I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
The same one.
Yes.
The same one who said, we don't want this Haitian head boy.
Yeah, yeah, but she had no, what she was doing, she didn't have no kind of, how would I put that? She didn't even know what she was doing.
Yeah, you know.
But God knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And God had to use her to take you where he needed you to go.
Yeah, it's just so, like...
The same lady, she had me fill out the application. I fill out the application. Not knowing that this lady was also very wealthy. She said, Frankie, I am going to pay.
My God.
For your first 2 years at the college.
My God, look at God.
Look at God. Wow.
She said, I will pay. You don't have to come up with nothing.
The same lady.
The same lady.
That said she don't want no Haitian.
She don't want no Haitian.
Who said, we don't want
at
no Haitian.
At the school. Hey,
turn around.
Oh, look at Jesus.
She said, this is the next head boy.
I could tell you that.
Then she turned around. She said, you will fill out the application to go to the University of the Bahamas.
And she
then she turned around and took money out of her pocket.
And she paid
and
for your
paid
years.
For my 2 years.
That was God doing.
Wow.
When those 2 years was up, she took me to the Life of Key Foundation.
My
and
goodness.
She said, this is my son.
Oh,
Jesus
Lord.
And listen,
Bye.
That is so powerful.
That's a powerful.
You listen, you knew what she said about you.
Yes.
Had I disrespected
had
her?
Had you disrespected her? Had you not said good morning to her because
Why?
Of her saying, hey, I don't want this Haitian, you would have not been here today.
Yeah, no.
Never not. Yes, yes.
That
yes.
was God using you.
Yes.
To not be, you know, when you know people treat you a certain way, you do not treat them that way. You know?
So this Bahamian versus Haitian thing gotta stop.
It have to.
It has to.
It has to stop.
It
has to stop. Because it's not Haitians are not taking over nothing. I've been hearing for years. I almost 40 and I've been hearing from since I was a child that Haitians are taking over. They're not taking over nothing. They're having a lot of children. Yes. But as far as that's taking over anything, any industry, they are not taking over anything. They simply want to be a part of society. And those of us who are born here want to be able to contribute to the country that we were born in. It is as simple as that. And in order to do that, you need Bahamian citizenship in order to function in the Bahamas.
Right.
So it's
right.
not about Haitian versus Bahamians and us taking over and all of that. Had I had that mentality, where would I be today? It was Bahamians who invested in me.
That's right.
Yes.
That is true.
That is true.
It was Bahamians.
Look at God.
It was Bahamians who accepted me. She said, this is my son. She ain't said, this is my friend.
Lady.
She ain't said, this is a student. She said, this is my son.
And do you know a lot of times we hurt ourselves
yes.
when we know, hey, somebody said something about us. We stop talking to that person.
Mm-hmm.
We walk by and we're like, oh, this, you know, and our whole mentality changed towards that person. And I always tell people, stop doing unto things what other people do to you. Learn to change. Learn to show them that you are bigger and better than what they said you are. And that will have them to think and their conscience will be like, wow, I said Tedley ain't worth shit. And Tedley still speaking to me like I didn't say anything about her. You know, and to do the show, I would tell people to do the show. I've been criticized a lot of times for this same show. And I've even had callers call in and said, oh, turn off the show. This ain't no, we don't know nothing but no Creole and this and that. But I'm not doing that. I am simply educating and informing the community at large. Because whether we want it or not, it's already done.
Yeah, it's already
the community
done.
Is here. Your persons are what are you, with here, living here. In this country legally and are paying their taxes. It's only right that you know you let them know as what is happening in happening in the country and what is going on, what is our laws that as they stay in this country, that they can be in this country the proper way. That is all I am doing. And if you listen to people, you will be discouraged and fail many times, and that's their job.
There are so much gifted and talented people.
That is their job.
In this country, but what we have to understand is your gift is not based on your nationality.
No.
That's what we have to understand. When God created you, He imparted gifts in you. He put gifts in
that's
you.
That's right.
And your gifts is not limited to what people think,
what people think
about you. People often say, "Well, how you get so smart? But you're a Haitian." Haitians are not supposed to be smart. No. That's what you said.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Ignorant is a bliss.
You know? Yeah. So, when I decided that I was not going to perpetrate this ideology that I versus Haitian versus Bahamian, and someone have to be the bigger person, and someone have to walk away.
Yeah.
Someone have to say, you know what? I'm not going to entertain this type of conversation.
No.
All right? Oftentimes, we entertain people with these negative talks.
These negative talks, yeah.
And we devalue people.
Yeah.
We have to stop devaluing Haitians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And until Haitians love themselves, mm-hmm. don't expect for Bahamians or anyone to love you. You have to accept who you are. If you as Jane Baptist, don't change your name to Roll. You're not a Roll.
You're not
a
Roll. Yeah, exactly.
You as Jane Baptist.
Yeah.
You stick with Jane Baptist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you be all that Jane Baptist was called to be.
Yeah.
You don't have to change your name and lie.
I don't think you have to change yourself to suit anybody.
No.
You are you. God made you wonderfully and unique. And if he made you a petite, a Jane Baptist, he made you that for a reason. He already knew your purpose. He already knew what he called you for. And he already knew your challenges you're going to have. And he already knew that he's going to bring you out of it.
Yeah, we have to inform all people, both Bahamians and Haitians,
mm-hmm.
that your life is purposeful.
Yes, yes, it is.
I did not have a passport.
Tell her age what?
I didn't have a passport. Until the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Age 18.
Okay.
Of 18.
And you applied at the right way, and you got your passport at the right way.
Apply.
And Frankie, you mentioned something earlier where you said walking, you used to walk from, what was the area again, to Yamacraw?
Yamacraw to Elizabeth Estates.
Right. And you mentioned that because of your big brother, he was in the gang. He was a part of the gang raiders, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that is why that nobody ever touched you. And never stopped you, or you could have been killed, they could have stabbed mm-hmm. you. And do you know something? I spoke to a young man that I wanted him to be on the show, but I thought about it. I said, no, I'm not going to put his life at jeopardy. And he when he was talking to me, sometimes what we fail to do, you have MPs or like that. You have persons who were grow up in Baintown, grew up in, I would say, in the Grove, grew up in Camp Road. And when they got to a certain level in their lives, they forget where they come from. They forget that God used them, took them out of the hood, but wanted them to still come back and check for the ones that they grew up with, the ones that they left behind, just to sit down and talk to them. Because sometimes you have a lot of young people that can look up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem that we face in this country. Even some MPs, and I'm not gonna say all, but you have some that sit down and talk to the young men in their constituency and just to see what they thinking, what's going on with them, what do they need, how I can better serve them, how I can improve my constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot that, after they win the election, you don't even see them no more until it's time for the next election.
Yeah.
And that is why when they won the vote, they lose.
Yeah. So
because the younger people vote at large. And I said this to say, the young guy, you know, he's from Bain and Grantstown. And sometimes I just go there. And, you know, I sit down because that's where I grew up. And I sit down and I talk to them and I see what they, you know, you have a lot of them that went to jail for certain things, a lot that dropped out of school. And I would sit and talk to them and be like, hey, how's it going? What's going on with you? And one of the young boy of Haitian descent, he told me, he said, Ted Lee, I left school. I said, why did you drop out of school? I said, you had a free education. I said, don't do that. I said, your parents send you to school to learn. He said, it's not that I didn't want to learn. He said, I was forced to drop out of school. He said, I was forced because too much gang leaders were attacking me. He said, I was in fear of my life. So I told him, I said, but you were in school. And I said, aren't the police or station at the school? He said, they are, but ain't nothing much they can do. He said, because sometimes when you even going home, you have those guys that follow you home with knives and all sorts of stuff. He said, I had to run for my life a lot of times. And he said, if I didn't leave the school, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because wow. I didn't want to join one of the gang. Because I didn't want to join the gang. And so that I had to pick whether I wanted to my life or, you know, I wanted to stay in school. And Terrence came out. Terrence was just dropping down my ass. And I was like, wow, your children are not even safe at school. Wow. Can you hear something like that? And when by you saying that, it reminded me of what he said. You know, to say, hey, if you your brother was not in the gang, you probably wouldn't have been here today.
Yeah, that's true. See, we often, gangs are, it provides, a lot of people of Haitian descent find themselves in gangs too because it provides a safety net, so to speak. It provides a place for acceptance, but it's dysfunctional. It's a false sense of reality.
And I think a lot, that's true. And even the Bahamian community, all of us, and our young men are dying from these gangs. And these gang leaders, sometimes they shoot them up and check them up. Your children go missing. You don't know what's going on with your children just because they don't want to get, join these gangs. And you just have to cover your child by the blood of Jesus because this is serious. We are facing some serious issues in this country.
I think the number one issue is leadership. When you have a gang leader have more influence than the church, mm-hmm. when you have gangs that have more influence than even politicians, it tells you how dysfunctional our society has become.
Mm-hmm.
We need men of integrity, men that will actually go out there and interact with these young people. They are young people. Now, if you want to have an idea of the kind of country you're going to have in the next 10 years, look at the children now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Look at what they're doing now. Because in the next 10 years, they are going to be adults. But we only see, we're so divided because of politics, because of FNM and PLP, and we're so divided because of Haitian and Bahamian, to the point where we don't see, if we don't grab this little Haitian boy now, and if we don't grab this Bahamian boy now, and ensure that they grow up with a level of decency and respect for society, with manners and respect, if we don't do that now, we have to put in the work now, not next election. We have to put in the work now. We have to invest now. That is why I go out and I reach out to persons in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Young very boys, young important. Girls. I had three mothers that came to me and put their sons in my hand and say, Frankie, we hear you doing a good work. My son is doing what he want to do. I just need him to be in your company.
My God.
I just need him to be with you.
You to guide him.
To guide him. That's it. And I remember picking up a young man for...
Those mothers, excuse me, do they have like husbands at home?
Some do.
And some are growing up these children by themselves. Because, you know, there's so much broken home in this country. That's another story. You have a lot of single moms
that are growing up
these boys. And it is so hard for some women now to grow up children because at the age now we are, you have children having children. So it's totally different from how we grew up back in the days. Because back in the days, our parents, my mother, oh my God, she was very damn strict. So it was totally different. But now we have some parents who not like how we grew up. Yeah. They're not grow up. They're not you know growing up their kids like the way we were brought up. It's totally different. But you can join us in the conversation. The number to call us this evening is 323-62-32-325-4316-325-4259. If you want to join the conversation and call the radio and have your views, your input, nothing negative, please. Strictly positive this evening because we are doing our awesome show. So I would really love it. If you have anything negative, keep it to yourself. Okay, Frankie, continue.
Yeah, so what we need is leaders, not politicians. Mm-hmm. Politicians only concern about the next election. We need leaders who are concerned about the next generation. All right? That's what we need. And we need leaders that will be able to reach people of Haitian descent as well. Because like it or not, they are a part of society.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a group, a large group, of any set of people in your country, in your school system, All right? Going to your churches, interacting with you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it make sense to ensure that those group of people understand the fundamentals of what it is to be a citizen of the country?
That's right.
Wouldn't it be, you know, responsible to ensure that those kids, as they grow up, as they sit next to you, or as they drive next, whatever, or as they enter different workplaces, it would be smart to make sure that you keep them close. There's Haitians and they're taking over, and they're gonna somehow ruin our society. They're gonna destroy our society. But they're kids. How could kids be an enemy of the state? And what I hate about it is preachers who are supposed to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling their congregation that Haitians or Haitian children are a threat to this nation.
My Lord.
Yes. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But how can somebody be a threat to a country where they were born in, where they want to be a part of, where they want to contribute to? And that is the message I've been sending out. Persons are not getting it. You do have not all Bahamians, because to God be the glory. I've doing my years. All the ones I've encountered happens to be very fond of me being a Haitian. You know, you might have one or two, but they've been very supportive of me, never criticized me once. But that is our message, to say that we want to belong here. We want to be a part of Saxons. We want to be a part of Valley Boys. We want to be a part of the culture. We want what's best for the country, because we have our children.
Yes.
And they're not going anywhere. You can imagine my child. Where the hell my child is going? Haiti? Never been there? My child has never been there. Are they even going to accept him?
There's this mentality that everyone that is of Haitian descent that is in this country came here illegally.
No.
That's
our
not
parents
true.
Came, but we were you born know? Here. Our parents did that.
Some of us were born into the country. If you were born into a country, you have no choice. It wasn't by your will.
No.
All right? So if I wasn't born in a country, why am I being judged as if I am trying to destroy the country
and
in which,
you know,
I was born in?
And you know, sometimes when you have a lot of maybe Haitian Bahamians celebrating the Haitian Flag Day or Haitian Cultural Fest that they hold every year in May, and there was sometimes I listen to the radio, and you have a lot of talk persons called the talk show on radio saying, "Oh well, you know, these children are more to the Haitian side." You know, they celebrating the Haitian. It's not that, because sometimes they feel like the Haitian community embraced them more than their own community, which is the Bahamian community. And sometimes they feel like they don't belong, because no matter how much they try to fit in, you still throw them away. You still like, oh, this is Jean Baptiste, this is Camille, this is Petit, this is, you know, whatever. You're not accepted here. We just want to be accepted. This is our country. This is where we were born. This is all we know all our lives. We're not going anywhere. This is what we want, what's best for this country. We want this country to grow. We want our children to have a better life. That is all we want. We want the children of Haitian descent who are not representing us well. We will be right back after this break. You are listening to Guardian 96.9 FM, Communauté Haïtienne, Rete Branché La, Parti Radio.
Seye, epi Chita, s'il vous plaît, yaprele pou radiografie. Tale. Se sa ki fè rele, Saltan. Ou pa gen problème nan Fortress Diagnostic Center, Image at Grosvenor's, nou pa jam fè plize rendez-vous résultat. Sa vle di, entre, soti. Si test depi stajou moutwe ekran, radiolog nou ka kondi alternatif test depi taj sa. Kounia la même. Ou bien, relez-nous na 328-81-57 pour faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien relez-nous na 328-81-57 faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien visitez location nous, Kamakelod, Chaudière.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Some medical facilities pride themselves on offering multiple services. At Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an X-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Guardian 96.9 FM with Fresh News Smart Talk all day. I am here, Lady T, indeed your host, my co-host, Smith Joseph is here. Also, my guest, Frankie Camille, is here. Frankie, I'm just going to do a little recap in Creole because I realize I haven't spoken any Creole, and I do have a lot of Creole listeners. Mm-hmm. So, communauté haïtienne, ça que t'es fait, mon gars, Frankie Camille, qui là, et un jeune haïtien et haïtien bahamien. Et qui grandit dans yad haïtien hein? Et Jean dit là il était grandi il pas grandi comme un monde qui m'était ka dire qui était gagne toute bagaille dans main mais la vie c'est la vie qui était vraiment challengé côté lui même il était gagne un problème avec stepfather pap et comment il ça même
bopeli
côté il était gagne petit problème avec bopeli il pas bien traité il était maltraité et côté j'ai là été un jeune il demandé mal pour la ville et ça dépend là été grandi à l'âge de 12 ans il dit comme ça là il t'a pas l'école maman était comme un dollar pour lunch il dit comme ça c'est pour choisir dans juste ça ça pour est-ce que pour manger jeudi ou pour boire jeudi parce que un dollar dans temps ça pas de café en plus il dit comme ça là il réaliser ça et tout il dit comme ça là l'été dans classe 4 parce que ou connaît les grandi dans yad haïtien l'ont grandi dans yad haïtien pas grand monde qui parle anglais tout monde c'est créole yo parler so, ça veut dire ça fait vie fait et confuse comme on dit ça et les confuse parce que c'est celle créole il connaît les line dans l'école là les line dans l'école c'est anglais à parler so, ça veut dire il était gain pour apprendre anglais dans difficulté dans créole dans l'école là c'est sur ça c'est problème ça il était gain et tout les dit comme ça à l'âge de 13 ans il commence travail il était well à l'âge de 12 ans 11 ans il tape travail dans ce value côté il était park and boy mais parce que on connaît ça il était c'est haïtien la finité tellement petit l'autre park and boy yo t'a prend avantage ay. Est-ce que vous comprenez ce que bat chaque coin jeune monde pour pas que eux même y a prend monde nan main y a maltraité dans travail là ça veut dire il était quitté ses pour value côté là il travaille dans gas station qui était le Texaco gas station qu'on y a ses roupes hier mais il dit qu'on ça l'âge de 13 ans monde n'a pas voulu bay travail là parce que monde dit oh tellement jeune pas bon travail là mais l'elle expliquer monde dit comme ça m'gain pour me prendre soin famille moi avec tête moi et mettre travail là dit plus que moi ou déterminé pour travailler là map bon travail là et côté dit comme ça dans travail ça côté il était un grand frère qui était dans gang merci bon Dieu pour ça et c'est ça que fait il était con marcher à Elizabeth Estate pour aller dans Yamacro lycée là chaque soir pour la marcher. Et dit il pas faire ça, il pas quitter ça comme vous comprenez, il pas quitter ça, stop lui. Et il t'ai fait ça comme un cadeau, comme une détermination pour lui, côté il t'ai fait focus plus sur côté il t'ai voulu vivre. Et il dit comme ça à l'été en high school, il t'ai dit comme ça il voulait pour valedictorian, ça veut dire une qui pi top class dans l'école là. Et il dit comme ça là il vient dans l'école là, il y a un administratif dans l'école là qui te dit pas un teacher non parce que fils a pi go passer teacher. Et pas vrai administratif côté il te dit comme ça et là il t'a choisi moun pour head boy. Il dit pas même dans cause head boy là, même bon Dieu t'a arrangé côté il était besoin pour head boy ni valedictorian, ça il pas connaît bon Dieu t'a traché un chemin pour lui côté il pas connaît. Il dit comme ça côté fils a même qui pas voulait pour head boy là, l'elle est arrivé pour head boy fait dit comme ça pas besoin de timoun haïtien avec dernier nom haïtien représenter l'école ça comme head boy. Mais parce que bon Dieu t'a gétant fait affaire Jean Yves, bon Dieu c'est grand monde, il connaît ça la fait affaire Jean Yves, il dit même fils ça là il gagne réunion pour yo te choisi head boy, c'est même fils ça qui l'est après il tant de francs qui parlait, il dit côté francs qui t'a fait un bonne research pour make sure l'arrivé puis quand ça l'a dit pour apprendre toute bagaille bon bagaille pas demandé il t'a gétant étudiant pile bagaille. Et dit comme ça côté l'arrivé était tellement intelligent on yo pas de gain choix parce que bon Dieu t'a gétant arrangé c'est comme ça pour bailler la te fait. Il dit l'arrivé même fils ça c'est lui même qui t'a choisi, même fille qui t'a dit qu'elle pas besoin pour un petit nèg haïtien venir comme head boy dans l'école là, c'est lui même qui choisi. Il dit même fils ça encore, il dit là il connaît tout ça fils ça t'a dit de lia ça pas décourager. Il dit comme ça là il connaît, il dit comme bagaille dans lui qui dit ah ça dit c'est haïtien ma haïtien tout bagaille pas dit fils ça bonjour. Il dit bon Dieu dit comme ça dit bonjour. Il dit même fils ça, il salue, là il salue, il rit belle souris, belle bonjour bagaille, il toujours bien sage. So, ça veut dire ça sont leçons pour tout le monde. L'entendre on a parlé mal, pas parler mal, mais virer situation pour monde faire qu'à penser de ça il faut là pour bon Dieu qu'à toucher que monde. Ça c'est une leçon lié. Il dit même fils ça, c'est lui même qui choisit pour y payer. Il dit l'elle est arrivé pour aller dans collège. Il dit papa est dans collège parce qu'il pas encore il pas connait quoi de la sorti pour aller dans COB, collège Bahamas. Au collège, on est collège Sachet. Il dit c'est même fils ça, son femme riche. Il pas jamais connu si femme ça, son femme riche comme ça. C'est même fils ça qui choisit pour payer pour l'école pour 2 ans. Femme n'a dit plein femme dans moi-même m'a payé pour l'école pour 2 ans. Il dit même fils ça encore adopté comme un petit lit, mais n'est juste l'iPhone qui veut mon yo. Mais l'iPhone qui dit c'est petit moi à faire réclame avec. C'est plus ça t'es fréquent.
Yes, s'il te prend ça qu'il te dit.
Ah, la fini si ton timon fois quand il était. Il t'a jamais mauvais côté était hier. Même parce que bon Dieu utilisé sur un monde qui humble, qui bien sage lié, bon Dieu t'a tracé route avec, il t'a fait route avec et au nom de Jésus que il vive à la gloire de Dieu. But I want to ask you something. What advice that you have for those young boys now of Haitian descent, Bahamians listening? Not you know what? Every young man in this country that is listening to this show, what advice can you give to them now growing up as a young child that feel like there is no hope for them, that feel like they are failing, that feel like they don't know where to go, that feel like sometimes they tried and they fall again, you know, they fall over and over and over and they are tired. What advice can you give to them for what you went through and how you grew up? What can you say to them for me?
I'd say, first of all, change your mindset. Change your mind. It everything begins with the mind. Have a vision of what it is that you want to become. From an early age, I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the finances. In fact, I was the black sheep of the family. I slept on the ground for 18 years of my life. But my mindset was always this, to succeed. So have a mindset as a man, have a mind as a young boy, you're going to be a man one day. So your mindset need to be that of work. All right. Have a mindset to work and to work hard. Find your gift, what it is that you're good at. If you're good at being cutting hair, then start a business. Cut hair. If you're good at being a mechanic, fixing cars, begin to fix cars. Yes. If you're good at school work, study harder. You have to be someone. Everyone is good at one thing. God has given you something you need that will help you to survive. Find out what it is that you are good at and add value to it. Add value to yourself. Find ways to add value to yourself. I always look for ways I can add value to myself. I always study. I always read. I went to college. I got a degree. Then I went back to college, got another degree. I'm still getting degrees up to this day. Why? Because I'm adding value to myself. And do not let what anybody say to you distract you or stop you. It's very difficult for someone with a mentality to succeed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible. It's very difficult. Once you have, it doesn't even matter your nationality or where you come from. It doesn't matter your setback. Listen, I had nothing. I came from the bush.
Speak it. Preach. Look here. My show finishing.
I came from the bush. I grew up in the bush. Me and the raccoons.
God is good. God is good. Smith, do you have anything to say? Because our show is almost... All my Facebook listeners, those who are tuned into my Facebook, partage information. Share the live. And thank you so much to all those who tune into Munya Kina Facebook. La partage. Belle
mission. Well, do you partage? Do you partage? Ni mon kamba life anyo.
What would you like to say, Smith?
But, lady, tu m'paka di yon anko. Et, ou gen tan di tout sa m'de di yo. Et, anko, invite à tout Camille. Et, gen tan di tout sa m'da dwe di yo. C'est que et c'est pas on va pas venir là pour une première pour une deuxième fois nous besoin mon temps pour nous c'est dit que nous avons l'autre plateforme actuellement dans Nevela pour aller notre radio so m'a besoin quand même passer message sur ce dia pour monde qui vivre dans Bidonville et nous célébrer. Merci tout le monde, rendez-vous nous casser c'est pour dimanche si bon Dieu veut dans même l'air et oui dans même station radio. Merci.
Frankie, listen to me. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And remember, the show is for everybody. Don't be no stranger. You can always come back to the show. We thank you to all of my listeners. Thank you to my producer. And don't forget, we have lost a veteran. RIP to Daryl Miller again. Enjoy your Sundays. Good evening, everybody. See you back again next week, Sunday. Thank Let's Talk Together in English was brought to you by Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, the Bahamas' largest and most experienced dedicated radiological center.